Zelengo, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Saturday, March 2nd, 2002, at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol, Part Number 60, Remembering the Words from Malcolm X. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight.
Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He
knows his lights can't help him. Truths are weapon, we'll collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought in. So, see, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. The lesson, the mind, know thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch. Like those days we were to be down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth will turn that around with the human rights patrol. We know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio, giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,638th night of broadcasting. Still in the place to be with we out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, is one correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of the Human Rights Radio Internet co-creation. We call the Human Rights Patrol. Dada, Kanadi Kentaco, and Zalango to you.
Zalango.
It's time for volume number
60.
Wow, that fast? That soon, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Man, never done no program like this, but we pray that the folks bear with us, and we're going to learn better, and we're going to try to be better at it. But right now, we want to make you all aware of the folks who make it possible for so many of you to hear the Human Rights Patrol around the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth.
First, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yahuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina. And the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Brown by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbert and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And to our newest listeners in the criminal enterprise called Dade County, Florida, at 102.9 FM, Zalango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
It's an honor to be a part of serving the largest unauthorized broadcast audience in the country, right?
That's right.
Right? I mean, when you add all those other stations in up and down the Human Rights Information Network, that's got the Human Rights Patrol being heard by over, what, 500,000 folks coast to coast in the criminal enterprise called the United States? And that's not taking in consideration at all the internet audience, right, that
right.
spans the globe now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an honor to have the opportunity to reach so many of you, and we know we take very serious our responsibility to do that. Kanadi's going to be black later on. She's going to help keep me in order here as we try to remember how much time we got and all that kind of good stuff. She co-produces this program. She'll be black later on and remind y'all about those folks that make it possible for so many of y'all to hear the Human Rights Patrol. And yeah, you say, well, Mbana, I've heard you've been doing radio for a while. What do you mean you've never done a program like this before? It was a good problem to have, you know, when we started the Human Rights Patrol. We had only done basically programs that would last 90 minutes. And so you had a lot of time to lay your case out and all that and get a couple stupid lines in, all that stuff. So now we got to get it all in like 22 minutes. That's about the time it takes, 24 minutes or something like that. And it's a good problem to have. It would have been very difficult if we were to try to go from doing 24 minutes of a program up to 90. So it's not a problem that we're tripping on. It's a problem we like to have because, it's something that you can work with. And tonight, in the last couple volumes of the Human Rights Patrol, we've been talking about the efforts by Uncle Sam and the bootlickers to take over the grassroots movement for reparations that's going on in this country, been going on man, I guess since it was first, you know, the first African realized they owed us, they said, hey, man, let's start getting paid. And never has it stopped. In the last couple of years, you saw, in 2000, you saw Uncle Sam put his buckwheats and Aunt Jemimas up there like they've been all about it, you know, when the record shows they ain't been. And we talked last time when we talked with Warrior Inko Yahura out of the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, owner and operator of Human Rights Radio in the criminal enterprise called Durham. Here today, they're celebrating their 1,057th day and night of broadcasting out there at 94.3 FM, challenging you other brothers and sisters out there, hey, let's get these transmitters to the community and start educating the people, right? Well, when we talked last, we ended up talking about some words that came from the warrior teacher, we'll call Malcolm X. We know he chose the name El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz before he passed, but we want to make sure everybody know who we're talking about, right? And he left a very... several good tapes. And so we don't have to ask folks what he said. And you don't have to ask if Mbana reading or Inko reading what he said. We're going to first go to message with to the grassroots. Because right now, Uncle Sam is trying to push all the buckwheats and Aunt Jemimas he got up front of the movement, the African reparations movement, the African captive reparations movement, so that, you know, it end up with some dang on toasted cheese sandwiches and some more of his education, right? And we ain't trying to hear that. But we want to hear how Malcolm talked about a big when Uncle Sam did this in the 60s. So let's go to the words from the elder. And this is from the speech, Message to the Grassroots. And he was breaking this down to the children, young folks down there in Alabama, when King and them set everybody up on the bridge right before that, right?
Conditions of nuclear.
Wait a minute. This is not Malcolm. I forgot to change tapes. We got it now. This is live.
In Cambridge, Maryland, Gloria Richardson. In Danville, Virginia, and other parts of the country, local leaders begin to stir up our people at the grassroots level. This was never done by these Negroes whom you recognize of national stature. They controlled you, but they never incited you or excited you. They controlled you. They contained you. They kept you on the plantation. As soon as King failed in Birmingham, Negroes took to the streets. King got out and went out to California to a big rally and raised about, I don't know how many thousands of dollars. Come to Detroit and had a march and raised some more thousands of dollars. And recall, right after that, Wilkins attacked King, accused King and the Corps of starting trouble everywhere and then making the NAACP get him out of jail and spend a lot of money. And then he accused King and Corps of raising all the money and not paying it back. This happened. I got it in documented evidence in the newspaper. Roy started attacking King and King started attacking Roy and Farmer started attacking both of them. And as these Negroes of national stature begin to attack each other, they begin to lose their control of the Negro masses. And Negroes was out there in the streets. They was talking about, we're going to march on Washington. By the way, right at that time, Birmingham had exploded, and the Negroes in Birmingham, remember, they also exploded. They began to stab the crackers in the back and bust them upside the head. Yes, they did. That's when Kennedy sent in the troops down in Birmingham. So, and right after that, Kennedy got on the television and said, this is a moral issue. That's when he said he's going to put out a civil rights bill. And when he mentioned civil rights bill and the Southern crackers start talking about they were going to boycott it or filibuster, then the Negroes start talking about what? We're going to march on Washington, march on the Senate, march on the White House, march on the Congress and tie it up, bring it to a halt. Don't let the government proceed. They even said they were going to go out to the airport and lay down on the runway and don't let no airplanes land. I'm telling you what they said. That was revolution. That was revolution. That was the Black Revolution. It was the grassroots out there in the street. Scared the white man to death. Scared the white power structure in Washington, D.C. to death. I was there. When they found out that this black steamroller was going to come down on the Capitol, they called in Wilkins. They called in Randolph. They called in these national Negro leaders that you respect and told them, call it off. Kennedy said, look, y'all letting this thing go too far. And old Tom said, boss, I can't stop it because I didn't start it. I I'm telling you what they said. They said I'm not even in it, much less at the head of it. They said these Negroes are doing things on their own. They're running ahead of us. And that old shrewd fox, he said, well, if you all aren't in it, I'll put you in it. I'll put you at the head of it. I'll endorse it. I'll welcome it. I'll help it. I'll join it. A matter of hours went by. They had a meeting at the Carlisle Hotel in New York City. The Carlisle Hotel is owned by the Kennedy family. That's the hotel Kennedy spent the night at two nights ago. Belongs to his family. A philanthropic society headed by a white man named Stephen Currier called all the top civil rights leaders together at the Carlisle Hotel and told them that by you all fighting each other, you're destroying the civil rights movement. And since you're fighting over money from white liberals, let us set up what's known as the Council for United Civil Rights Leadership. Let's form this council, and all the civil rights organizations will belong to it. And we'll use it for fundraising purposes. Let me show you how tricky the white man is. And as soon as they got it formed, they elected Whitney Young as the chairman. And who you think became the co-chairman? Stephen Currier, the white man. A millionaire. Powell was talking about it down at the Cobo today. This is what he was talking about. Powell knows it happened. Randolph knows it happened. Wilkins knows it happened. King knows it happened. Every one of that so-called Big Six. They know what happened. Once they formed it, with the white man over it, he promised them and gave them $800,000 to split up between the Big Six and told them that after the march was over, they'd give them $700,000 more. $1.5 million split up between the leaders that you've been following, going to jail for, crying crocodile tears for. And they've nothing but Frank James and Jesse James and brothers. Soon as they got the setup organized, the white man made available to them top public relations experts. Opened the news media across the country at their disposal. And then they begin to project these Big Six as the leaders of the march. Originally, they weren't even in the march. You were talking this march talk on Hastings Street. Is Hastings Street still here? On Hastings Street. You were talking the march talk on Lenox Avenue. And down on, Fillmore Street. And Central Avenue. And 42nd Street and 63rd Street. That's where the march talk was being talked. But the white man put the Big Six ahead of it. Made them the march. They became the march. They took it over. And the first move they made after they took it over, they invited Walter Reuther, a white man. They invited a priest, a rabbi, and an old white preacher. Yes, an old white preacher. The same white element that put Kennedy in power, labor, the Catholics, the Jews, and liberal Protestants. Same clique that put Kennedy in power joined the March on Washington. It's just like when you got some coffee that's too black, which means it's too strong. What you do? You integrate it with cream. You make it weak. If you pour too much cream in, you won't even know you ever had coffee. It used to be hot, it becomes cool. It used to be strong, it becomes weak. It used to wake you up, now it'll put you to sleep. This is what they did with the March on Washington. They joined it. They didn't integrate it, they infiltrated it. They joined it, became a part of it. Took it over. And as they took it over, it lost its militancy. They ceased to be angry. They ceased to be hot. They ceased to be uncompromising. Why, it even ceased to be a march. It became a picnic, a circus. nothing but a circus with clowns and all. You had one right here in Detroit. I saw it on television with clowns leading it, white clowns and black clowns. I know you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because I can prove what I'm saying. If you think I'm telling you wrong, you bring me Martin Luther King and A. Philip Randolph and James Farmer and those other three and see if they'll deny it over the microphone. No, it was a sellout. It was a takeover. When James Baldwin came in from Paris, they wouldn't let him talk because they couldn't make him go by the script. But Lancaster wrote the speech that Baldwin was supposed to make. They wouldn't let Baldwin get up there because they know Baldwin's liable to say anything. They controlled it so tight, they told those Negroes what time to hit town, how to come, where to stop, what sign to carry, what song to sing, what speech they could make and what speech they couldn't make, and then told them to get out of town by sundown. And every one of those towns were out of town by sundown. Now, I know you don't like my saying this, but I can back it up. It was a circus, a performance that beat anything Hollywood could ever do. The performance of the year. Ruther and those other three devils should get an Academy Award for the best actors because they acted like they really loved Negroes and fooled a whole lot of Negroes. And the six Negro leaders should get an award, too, for the best supporting cast.
Now, obviously, for the folks that study, you know he wasn't in Selma. You know he was in Detroit, right? Selma was after, is it 65? And, of course, since he's talking about where Kennedy was staying the night before, you know where Kennedy was staying by 65, right? Yeah, right. They had played that heavy metal song for him, right? Well, so, you know, you heard it straight out the mouth of the elder teacher, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X, about what happened in 63. And they're trying to run that same move now. Now, I'm going to tell you what I feel is our protection against that, anybody fading us this time. And that is to continue to learn from what the warrior teacher Malcolm told us and move up out of that civil rights nonsense now to the human rights struggle. Because you know the Constitution ain't going to be your salvation. The Constitution is your proof Uncle Sam owe you. How the hell are you going to get some protection out that when that's the proof that Uncle Sam owe you for legalized rape? Now, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X told us that we got to move past that begging master for permission. How did he put it?
Today, our people can see that we're faced with a government conspiracy. This government has failed us. The senators who are filibustering concerning your and my rights, that's the government. Don't say it, Southern senators. This is the government. This is a government filibuster. It's not a segregationist filibuster. It's a government filibuster. Any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly-dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussyfooting, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights, that's the government that's responsible. And any time you find the government involved in a conspiracy to violate the citizenship or the civil rights of a people, then you are wasting your time going to that government expecting redress. Instead, you have to take that government to the world court and accuse it of genocide and all of the other crimes that it is guilty of today. So those of us whose political and economic and social philosophy is black nationalism have become involved in the civil rights struggle. We have injected ourselves into the civil rights struggle, and we intend to expand it from the level of civil rights to the level of human rights. As long as you fight it on the level of civil rights, you're under Uncle Sam's jurisdiction. Right. You're going to his court expecting him to correct the problem. He created the problem. He's the criminal. You don't take your case to the criminal, you take your criminal to court. When the government of South Africa began to trample upon the human rights of the people of South Africa, they were taken to the UN. When the government of Portugal began to trample upon the rights of our brothers and sisters in Angola, it was taken before the UN. Why, even the white man took the Hungarian question to the UN, and just this week, Chief Justice Goldberg was crying over 3 million Jews in Russia about their human rights, charging Russia with violating the UN Charter because of its mistreatment of the human rights of Jews in Russia. Now you tell me, how can the plight of everybody on this earth reach the halls of the United Nations and you have 22 million Afro-Americans whose churches are being bombed? Whose little girls are being murdered? Whose leaders are being shot down in broad daylight? Now you tell me why the leaders of this struggle have never taken it before the United Nations. To take the entire civil rights struggle problem into the United Nations. And let the world see that Uncle Sam is guilty of violating the human rights of 22 million Afro-Americans and still has the audacity or the nerve to stand up and represent himself as the leader of the free world.
Not only is he a crook, he's a hypocrite. Here he is standing up in front of other people, Uncle Sam, with the blood of your and my mothers and fathers on his hands, with the blood dripping down his jaws like a bloody-jawed wolf, and still got the nerve to point his finger at other countries. You can't even get civil rights legislation. And this man has got the nerve to stand up and talk about South Africa, or talk about Nazi Germany, or talk about Portugal. No, no more days like those.
I mean, for real, man. So all these Negroes out here telling you about reparations, if they ain't talking to you about your human rights and stuff like that, have enough sense to not get caught up in the caught-up. We are going to have to file for our reparations. We're going to get our reparations. Mayotte say we're going to get our reparations. That's the law of, well, go around, come around, say we. And we're going to have to file. And when Uncle Sam do what his nature say he going to have to do, that ain't going to stop us from getting it. But remember what El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, warrior teacher Malcolm X said. You know, it's a blessing that we have the actual tapes of this brother talking. So we don't have no question about where we're supposed to be headed, what we're supposed to be about the business of. And those in the human rights struggle know that we're going to get our money. All right, we're going to call on Dada Kanadi to come black into the place. Zelango to you.
Zelango.
It's something to hear the words from the brother way back in the day, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
See, folks my age, like my mentors, they always walking the earth with this cat, you know, at the time, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, your generation and the generation after you now have the luxury of the tapes, you know what I'm saying? To actually hear the, you know, the emotion and the energy this brother was bringing in. He sure inspired a whole bunch of folks. Still inspiring folks. In fact, if they could do it all over again, they'd probably try to let him, you know, try to live and see if he could, you know, handle the stresses, as opposed to, you know, they've made him one conversation around a lot of council fires. Mm-hmm. And the young folks that hear about him, they get stronger, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They'd be like, I am Malcolm X, you know, kind of like went down right at Fred Hampton's funeral. You know what I'm saying? They said all of a sudden around the church at the funeral, you know, Fred Hampton, when the pigs killed him in 1968, chairman of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense there in the Criminal Enterprise Club, Chicago. They said when the pigs killed him and they was at the funeral, and it came a moment in the service where everything got quiet, and all of a sudden a child stood up and said, I am Fred Hampton. And then it just went around the church. Every child starts saying, I am Fred Hampton. It's the same thing with El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. Mm-hmm. Always with us. As long as he's inspiring us to be stronger, blacker, and, you know, about our folk business, he always with us, right?
Right.
And the memories we have of him will never be changed. Mm-hmm. That's for real. Well, you know, we want to shout out to those folks that made it possible for so many folks to hear this edition of the Human Rights Patrol and others. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to say Zelango to Human Rights Radio on 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yuhuru and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, and 99.9 FM. Human Rights Radio, brought by Brother Lavelle. Also, to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP and the criminal enterprise called Bayview Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew, and at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And to our newest listeners in the criminal enterprise called Dade County, Florida, at 102.9 FM, Zelango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
That's right. And again, shout out to those folks that make it possible for you to hear the Human Rights Patrol. And, you know, let them know you appreciate it. You know, 1.5 hour of conscious information coming up out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois at 106.7. And, you know, in the studios with us tonight out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois is war correspondent, commander of the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of the Human Rights Radio Network, internet co-creation. We call it a Human Rights Patrol. I'm talking about Dada Kanadi Kentaco. I'm in Banda Kentaco. We're in our 4,638th night of broadcasting here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois at 106.7 FM. There's no question about it by now. You know, and everybody's learning, that you're listening to the people's choice. Because the people choose to listen to the Human Rights Information Network.
We will remember the humanity.
We will remember the humanity.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation. We will have discipline. Patience. Devotion.
Devotion.
Courage. We will live as models. To provide new direction for our people. We will be free and self-determining.
We
are African people.
Aluta!
Continua!
Continua!
Kupala!
Kupala!